This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust, and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bingetown TV. This is Brian here with Kyle, Luke, and Jimmy. We are back with our coverage of The 100. Today, we'll be covering episode 13 entitled Blood Giant. And guys, the big news for this episode is we say goodbye to one of our own. Someone very near and dear to our hearts. Maybe not recently, but an OG.
Indeed.
An OG nonetheless. And although it has been sour for a couple episodes, I think that we need to send him off with the respect he deserves.
I agree. I do agree. 7 years with our boy.
But there is quite a bit that happens before we get there. So we ready to just jump right in?
Yeah, we're going to have a whole segment dedicated to analyzing the Bellamy thing at the end. So let's just go right into it.
Well, let's start, like always, with the Twitter poll at Bingetown TV. We did a poll, asked you guys, like always, and we had three options. What did you guys think of the episode? Loved it was 24%. It was good, not great was 26%. And did not really like it was 50%. So I think a lot of people are a little upset about the Bellamy death. And
I get it.
What do
I
you
totally
guys think?
Get it. I have a little bit of a pulse of what the fandom was thinking. They pretty much, you know, as normal, all want Jason's head on a pike.
Did you say pike?
Anytime that the show, The 100, kills anybody, especially if they're big, like Jason gets crucified, but I think rightfully so in this case. You know, like he still gets shit mail every single day for Lexa and stuff like that. But
yeah,
like this Bellamy thing, well, part of it is definitely on Bob Morley, and we've been reiterating that throughout the whole season, like how he put the writers into a box where they didn't have a lot of time to write his scenes and like didn't have a lot of episodes that he was going to be in. So partly to blame on them, partly to blame on Bob Morley himself.
Point being,
but almost
50% of people thought it was a bad episode. Do you credit that to the Bellamy thing?
It's all reaction.
I thought most of the episodes this season have been solid with some very good parts. I thought this was kind of a subpar episode with some very good scenes. I thought Murphy once again stole the show with his one-liners.
Agreed.
Always.
Indra had an awesome scene. I loved the interactions between Russ Ada and Indra. I think there was some stuff that we could take away from this episode and like, but I mean, you can't overlook.
You're right. There's not a lot of like pop moments in this episode that I really liked, but
so first episode is going to open up in the throne room, the bone throne room in Sanctum. And it is, remember, we are coming back from episode 12, Clark, Bill, Gabriel, and their company have just come through the portal and arrived at Sanctum for the first time in what seems like forever. I love the first interaction is Gabriel recognizing Russell Prime. And he says, Russell, what's going on here? Like, what's up? And Russell's like, I don't know who the hell you are. That was just the perfect opening just to see how much has transpired since the last time some of these characters have seen each other.
It's on Sanctum. It's only been a couple days.
Yeah.
And I mean, Clark literally says, what the hell happened?
It's honestly like that meme where like Donald Glover walks into the room and everything's on fire. He's just holding like three pizzas. He's like, what's going on here?
That is exactly what happened. And Clark is the first person that's like, that's not Russell.
Yeah.
Yeah. She knew right away. And, you know, Shade Hata being himself just starts getting very aggressive, telling him the deal, like, you kneel or you
die. His first words are, since I've become in charge, protocol has become quite simple, kneel or die. So they know the deal, and our boy Bill steps up.
Slaps his dick right on the table.
The quote is, because I love this, ordinarily, I would relish the opportunity to recruit your forces for the cause, but unfortunately, I have neither the time nor the patience to suffer your primitive tribalism. And the invisible troopers just take out all of, I don't know, Russ Ada's bodyguards, like his muscles. So it's just Russell Prime, and Indra was allowed to live because she didn't have a weapon. But Bill identified her as an enemy because she was untethered by the throne.
She's been playing the part with Shade Hata this whole time.
Yeah. You
know? I mean, he knows that she's an enemy, but she's still following him.
Well, it's kind of funny because while he knows that she's an enemy, she has also begrudgingly accepted the role of like his right-hand man. And I really enjoy that dynamic because he knows like she's just the best person for the job.
Yeah.
But she hates him. So I have really enjoyed that dynamic. So yeah, once Russ Hayda's muscle is out of the way, Clark and Raven immediately rush over to Murphy, who was tied up just behind the throne. And they kind of just say, what the hell's going on, Murphy? Like, what's up? And Murphy chirps back with, I could ask you the same thing. What's up with Bellamy? Like, what is he doing in the white robes?
Yeah, and I don't even, like, that dialogue didn't even mean much, but it just feels so good. It feels like fan service just seeing our characters interact on screen again because it's been so long, man. And being someone that's rewatching the series right now, like, we don't get enough of our main characters talking to each other, and that's a weird thing to say about the final season of a show.
Exactly. Did I tell you I started my rewatch?
Yeah.
Halfway through Mount Weather. My God.
So good. This show.
That's the money right there.
Unbelievable.
But so I do want to give B-Times, I think it was you. I want to give you the credit if it was you.
Oh, let's
except
go.
Now. I think you were the one that mentioned that pretty much at any time there could always be invisible soldiers around.
Yeah.
And probably dismissed it a little bit in the stone room on Bardo, but clearly that was the case. Like 15 soldiers went through the anomaly back to Sanctum. And that was awesome because I mean, shout out to you for calling that because I did not see it going that way.
Yeah.
But it's the only explainable way at how Bill wasn't going to just get manhandled by Shade 100%.
Hayda. And I know the reason you bring that up is because Shade Hayda tries to charge at Bill and he gets absolutely just stabbed through the chest by an invisible trooper, at which point Bill just moseys on over to him and says, I have a proposition for you. If you allow me and my people to get safe passage to the flame, I don't want to see any of your people in sight. I will allow you to live and I will leave Dr. Santiago, obviously Gabriel, here to treat your wounds. So that's the deal. And he said, refuse this and you die. And we have not seen Shade Hayda in this position before. He, for the first time, he was frazzled. And I loved the facial expression right when he saw he didn't even know where they were coming from, but these laser beams coming out of thin air and just killing all of his people. Yeah. I could see in the facial expression, like he looked around and he was flustered.
It was something he could not possibly be prepared for, no matter how strategic he was.
Yeah.
And yeah. That's his thing.
He was pretty damn perfect for working within the rules of what he knew.
When he got stabbed, did you guys think that was his death scene?
No.
No.
Okay, good, because when I was like, if he dies here, I'm pissed.
That would have been terrible.
Yeah, okay.
So, I just you can tell that Bill is pissed because he didn't at any point, even though he just introduced himself to someone, didn't say, call me Bill.
Call me
That's
Bill.
So true. I mean, he definitely is more villainous this episode.
He's
more arrogant too, like as more, meaning, you know, it's tough to say.
I would disagree. I feel like this is a testament to his character because he always has that regardless of the situation. He always kind of has this cool, calm demeanor.
Yeah.
Like even when the bugs were coming, which is later, he kind of said, no, I want to stay here, not without the key. And he was just cool. Whereas the people that knew what was going on said, no, we got to get out of here and go.
Yeah.
Well, that's him just being ignorant.
True.
This is true.
But anyway, at the end of that like whole statement where he gives the demands to Shade Hayda and he kind of he just gets like a silent yes from him. Mm-hmm. He just turns and points at the camera and says, onward to the key. And then the title sequence comes in.
Yep.
That was so sick. I thought that was awesome. Cause he's just, he's a guy with a plan and it would only make sense that he's this confident in himself and this resourceful if like as being the final villain of the entire show.
We all good on that first scene?
Yes, sir.
Sweet. We are moving on. So opening credits roll. The next scene we have is catching up with our survivors who are chilling in the nuclear reactor led by Emory. But the first person we see is Maddie and Picasso. Nice little scene, except I think it was Jerry's son is the one that says that's Russell Prime's dog. He wouldn't appreciate a cog.
Right, don't touch it.
Because I think Minnie Jasper was there.
Yeah, Minnie Jasper was going to touch or pet Picasso, and the little kid was like, whoa, don't touch him. That's Russell Prime's dog.
Yeah.
It was weird. It's just a little cute moment. It kind of leads us right into the next part of this scene where Maddie walks over to Emory saying, Jerry actually puts Murphy on a goddamn pedestal.
It's so good.
Fucking Jerry.
But she says, like, how's Jackson going to get us the rations? And Jerry comes off the top rope. Murphy, Jerry comes off the top rope and says, if anyone can do it, John Murphy can get it done.
Yep.
Jerry's our guy, dude. Jerry's our guy.
He's that the freaking Trey,
man. He's just like scoffing. I'm like, dude, you need to relax.
It is
bro.
The yin and yang between Jerry and Trey. I'm telling you, black and white.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Not much else in that scene. Yeah, our next one we have is actually having Murphy and Clark and squad leading Bill through Sanctum, heading towards the key, the farmhouse where the key is
buried.
It was kind of cool to see Murphy talk to Bellamy in a perspective where it wasn't him knowing he's a piece of shit now. So it was kind of cute. It was like they were just like their season six dynamic going. But real quick, he learns like something's up with Bellamy. And he kind of says like, all right, well, I kind of got to walk away.
Yeah, he just walks away.
What the hell is wrong with you, man?
Well, he's he's asking for what the play is, like how we run in this thing.
What are we doing here, man?
It takes him all of like two responses from Bellamy to know what's up. And he just walks away. He's like, nope.
And he goes up to Raven. He says, tell me he's not serious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bill just classic on his soapbox, like everywhere humans go, it was worse off because of it. Like, we will end this with our transcendence. It's just like, bro,
he had a bunch of lines like that in this episode. And at this point, I stopped like quoting them in my notes because he's been saying them all season. And I feel like in episode three, I was like, ooh, write that down.
Yeah.
But now it's just all like cold propaganda.
It is a testament to consistency of the religion. Definitely.
But he's also on that mindset, like we're the virus, like now with this whole COVID situation and the oceans are clearing up and shit and air quality is getting better. And it's like, oh, the earth is healing. But he's taking it to the extreme where he doesn't want us to be alive anymore. Which is absurd.
All right, let me walk us through these next couple scenes because this nothing really important happens here. You know, we get they're still walking towards the flame. Bill is actually going to use Murphy and Raven as leverage against Clark to force her to get the flame for them. And then, you know, another invisible motherfucker comes out and Raven has a kind of a dumb line, her cheesiest line in a while.
Yeah.
You get used to them.
I didn't mind that one. That was better than what's her faces earlier when they were on
Nyla's
Nakara.
Yeah.
Nyla's on Nakara. Mm-hmm.
Get Cole the flock get out of here too.
Miller stuff with that.
Well, it was good before that because Murphy's like, all right, let's go wait in the saloon.
Before our next commercial break, we get Raven and Murphy alone. That was actually good dialogue.
Because
Raven was saying like, oh, you did such a good job here. I mean, like basically everyone's in the reactor and Shade Hated took over. And he says, well, all of her friends are missing and Bellamy's a sheet. So did you.
He like gives her the playful punches too. Murphy's
the best character.
He is.
Right now. Yeah.
So whenever he's on the screen. One of his scenes later on made me laugh out loud. Yeah. He's just the best. We good on that scene. Raven, Murphy are hostages. Clark's going to get the flame.
Yep.
I'm just really glad we got Raven and Murphy like having that type of conversation. Like everything's kind of burning down around them and they're still kind of fucking with each other. I like that.
Yeah, they're truly like it's because Brian, you could probably speak to this the most now because like in the first season, like they hate each other more. She hates Murphy more than any character hates Murphy. And like seeing them like this is just a testament to that. That's good character development from season 1 to 7 writers, not Bellamy's bullshit that we get here.
Well, they were on the Ark or they were on the spaceship. They were part of the crew, if you will. Good on that scene.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Cool beans. Moving on, we have Gabriel, Russ Ada, and Indra in the Bone Throne Room. Stone Bone Throne Room. I love it. Writes itself. What better writers than the 100 people? What? So Gabriel is assessing Russ Ada. He says, you were stabbed in the kidney. Sorry, bro. Not much I can do for you. And Indra chirps up with good. Let him finally feel what it's like to die twice.
Yeah, she was hype. I love that.
Question, how much of a doctor is Gabriel? Like compared to his other skills in science, is that like a thing?
Yeah, I honestly didn't even think of him as a doctor until this episode.
I have been under the idea that I would rather have him as my doctor than Jackson.
Oh, really?
I think that he is just that much smarter than Jackson.
But medically trained.
I disagree, man.
Yeah, I disagree.
Okay, cool. Jackson's the homie and I should not shit talk Jackson, but I just know that I put Gabriel on a pedestal.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's lived centuries. Well, he could have spent one of centuries being a doctor.
Yeah.
This century, I'll be a surgeon.
I mean, it was him putting the mind drives into each person, right? So maybe, you know.
He did some sort of.
Yeah, so he's got to be some kind of surgeon, doctor.
Either way, Gabriel starts to see our old friend Josephine, and he right away knows what's going on because he's been living on this planet for a while, and he knows that the red toxin is here. And he tells that to Russ and Indra who Indra already is aware of the red toxin. Do we know why she would know about that?
I think you can, if it wasn't explicitly said, like you could assume like she's been the commander of one crew.
Yeah,
like
she's been
they all experienced it. Mm-hmm. So.
So now he just tells Russ and Indra that it's going on. They're like, how do you know? Because I'm already feeling the effects. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was a very long scene. Do you guys have anything else?
Just I love Josephine.
Yeah. I love how she's like, don't say anything. We're good. Let's go be alone. And he immediately is like, yeah, red sun talks about it. She's like, what the fuck? You know what she says? She says for Prime's sake.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, she does.
She's just such a good character. So any chance that we have to get her back.
I miss that chick just like twirling her hair, yep. Just saying all the right things. Just
she was awesome. Character.
They also give us a nice shot of the planet that Sanctum orbits. I liked that part.
Yeah, you don't see it much. And because that was because Shade Hater was asking how Gabriel knew, and like we get that flash.
Yep. Yeah.
And that leads us right back to picking up Murphy and Raven talking again. And at first, my first watch through, I thought this scene was kind of repetitive because they kind of say the same things as the last time we saw them. But it's, you know, like they do get a little more details, and Murphy now knows explicitly what happened with Bellamy and like a little bit more detail. So it was worth listening to. And I'll listen to those two. Those two are my favorite two characters, probably.
I love that Murphy essentially just reiterates the whole Bill situation, and it sounds like absolutely insane. And then he finishes it with, is it weird that the craziest thing is still Bellamy's robes?
Yeah.
And Raven's just like, no, like we're all on the same page there. And that's just a testament to how much crazy shit all of these characters have seen.
Yep.
Like all the Bill Cadogan stuff, like cult leader coming to a different planet. That's nothing for Murphy, but he's like, Bellamy in white robes can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. She also makes a good observation and point that because she's like, Echo and Octavia are both hostages and he just like doesn't give a fuck.
Right.
Yeah. And she's like, obviously something happened to him, but she'll never really know.
Maybe we'll never really know.
True.
If it's really, I guess we'll get
simulation.
Into it.
Yeah. If it's a simulation.
God damn it.
All right. So now we have an intimate conversation between Bill and Bellamy. And this is whack because Bill just keeps telling Bellamy, like he reminds him of himself because he knows like real relationships, not unlike the disciples, because the conductor was in the vicinity and he sent him away.
Yeah.
Like the disciples were bred to literally believe this one specific credence. And it's awesome that Bill in this conversation does say that the conductor is going to be Duchette. Is that
Duchette,
his name?
Yeah. Duchette?
Yeah. He was going to take over for Anders.
He was going to be the next first disciple.
Yeah.
Which is a cool twist that I didn't even think about. Not that it matters, but it does make sense, absolutely.
I mean, Bill's just buttering him up, man. Because Bellamy even asked him, like, you've had a family. Like, how did you deal with it? And Bill just goes, well, you're not disappointing me. Don't worry about it. And he just completely glazes over that, like, worst part of Bill's personality and the biggest mistakes he's ever made.
Yeah, and I think this is a very important Bellamy part, like, of the episode, because he's sitting there, and I'm pretty sure he has, like, tears running down his face, right, saying, like, I feel like I'm disappointing you, I feel like I'm disappointing my friends, I want to save everybody, they just don't understand. Like, this is when you could tell that there's definitely no play. This is him, he is fully, and we've known this for a while now, but he is fully in, and he is fully just, he's confused. He doesn't know what the hell to do because you could tell he does care about his friends.
Yeah.
But cares more about all mankind more.
So dumb, man. All right. But
we can keep talking about this forever.
I don't want to dive into it yet. So now our next scene is the reactor, right? With the toxin.
The red toxin red sun toxin alarms officially start going off outside of Sanctum, and then we go to the reactor.
Now, before we do that, though, Murphy has a little line where he's like, let's play another round of Who Wants to Murder Your Friends? Because he gets a couple jabs into Bellamy about, what is that, episode 1 in season 6?
Bellamy drowns him pretty much.
Oh, yeah. I do like that reference. I do like the callbacks to previous seasons. The show has always been really good at that.
Yeah,
but rolling on to the reactor, Amori is assuring everybody the reactor is airtight, so the toxin can't get in. But right after she says that, they start hearing banging on the door, and Russ Hado's cronies, led by Knight, was there, right? He was one of the people. I have a battering.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, it was Knight.
Yeah, Knight was one of the people, good. So he gets ruined by the bugs.
Yeah, nice.
And he looks the worst, man.
He's the one whose face destroyed. Yeah. Nice. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So they're trying to get in with the battering ram. Amori says, Jer Bear, get all these people into secondary containment. And Jerry's on the case. Oh my gosh. Not a doubt in my mind. He would have gotten every single one of those people into secondary containment safe and sound. But Nikki Bang Bang emerges from secondary containment, holding a knife to Jerry's throat.
That's as most scared I've ever been.
Yeah, right? I was shaking in my boots.
I was unfazed by the Bellamy death. This one had me shaken.
Our boy Jer.
100% right.
I mean, imagine if she just opened his throat right there. I would have cried.
We all would.
Bang, bang.
And even in the face of our boy Jer facing a life-threatening situation, Amori makes the judgment call that she's going to use her newly gained tech skills to put down the shield that's surrounding Sanctum to let all the bugs in and start causing some chaos, basically, to save them.
I feel like we have to give some props to Jerry's kid.
Yeah.
Because he literally stood in front of Nikki, who had a throat to his, or a knife to his throat, and just like stopped her. I thought that was pretty ballsy for a kid.
Definitely. Yep.
Maddie stepped up and said, like a human shield only works if you're willing to kill them or something. And I didn't get the line that she said.
I also didn't get it. And I rewatched the episode and I didn't get it the second time.
Yeah.
My brain power.
Yeah, I intently watched the second time and she said it and I was like, what?
It sounds like she said the opposite of what she meant.
Yes, thank you. Okay.
Okay, we're going to move on from that because we could be completely off.
Lights are out. There's a quick scene, though, right directly after that when the bugs are let in and you see all the chaos and you see Bill and all the disciples seeing the bugs start to fly in. And I thought it was awesome because for one split second, Bellamy sounded like Bellamy when he was like taking charge, saying he's like, grab a torch, follow me. Like, and he was like leading. It was like, dude, that is how you should be, but on the right side right now.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It sounded so, I was so sad.
So Bellamy.
Yeah.
We're going to get into Bellamy.
Yeah, but so, once again, I'm going to backtrack us again for another Murphy line. So Bellamy is giving those orders and stuff. And then the conductor is like, yeah, like he's right. Like we should round up all the hostages, execute them and get you home. And Murphy's like, well, Bellamy never said that.
That's later.
So our next scene is Dr. Jackson back in the throne bone room. Bone throne, stone room, all that, you know, whatever it is.
The bone room sounds...
yeah, the bone room. And Gabriel is now like full on hallucinating Josephine everywhere he's going. He's like full in red toxins and then he's looking for the antitoxin to give to everybody else. And Josephine is starting to feed him some information saying like, you know, if you find the key, find the flame, you can use some of the Allegis tech to mix with some of your mind drive reading tech and you can kind of reverse engineer it all and find out the final code. And she even says both words to activate the final war test, whatever it is, because we don't technically know.
Right.
Yeah. And Josephine being a part of Gabriel only knows what he knows. So that was a pretty good scene.
So some people's red toxin is I'm going to kill you. And Gabriel's is I get to see Josephine. So I would be fine with
Same with Indra. Indra's like that as well.
Yeah. Well, she's kind of being tortured by a past memory and he's being obviously tortured because he loves Josephine. But I mean, I'm okay with seeing Josephine.
Yeah, that'd be a good red
toxin. That's the best draw possible.
Clark has her mom telling her to kill herself. Yeah. And Gabriel's got Josephine actually giving him good info.
And then some of the people are aggressive, like, you know, Bellamy was aggressive. Knight is aggressive because they're just trying to slam in. So that's cool that
we know
Maury.
Yeah.
I like that Jackson asked Gabriel if Nate is okay. And Josephine's just like, you don't know who the hell Nate is, do you? And that Jackson's like, Miller? He's like, oh, yeah, he's fine.
It's so funny.
And speaking more on your point, Jimmy, about Josephine hallucinations being a nice little luck of the draw is that he takes the toxin, antitoxin out, and it's like, this is the last dose. You take it, Jackson. Because he doesn't want to get rid of Josephine's hallucination. Yeah. And Jackson's like, well, what the fuck? I can't do any of this stuff. And he's like, I'm used to it. Don't worry about it.
Josephine goes, oh, I missed you too. Right when he says, you take it, not
me. She's amazing.
Yeah.
She is amazing.
Yeah. I think Gabriel explains what they're going to do, and she goes, it's sexy when you get all sciencey.
So, yeah, Josephine is trying to tell Gabriel to use the flame himself. That's the big part of the scene. We ready to move on?
Yeah, the bugs.
Back to the reactor.
The bugs.
Yeah, Russ Hayda's men are still working on that battering ram, and the bugs come into the workshop and just ruin their faces.
I am happy that Knight died. I didn't realize till we had this conversation that Knight was involved in that, but fuck yes, man. He was a piece of shit since the beginning.
Oh yeah,
we're all good with Knight dying, right? That's all. That's a good.
Oh yeah,
Knight sucked.
Yeah,
and terrible way to die.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, we thought last episode when we saw the preview for this one, we were like, "Oh, Trey's gonna get a death like that. It's gonna be sick." And then ended up being Knight, and I'm okay with that.
I would have bet all of King Midas's silver that Trey would die before Bellamy.
What happened to his
here
goal?
We are.
Oh my God, what a terrible. You just ruined the episode for me.
Outlived Bellamy.
That is insane.
That is that's garbage. Actually.
Yeah, that's garbage.
It's Garbaggio, is what it is.
That's a
I don't know.
Fact right there.
Speaking of Bellamy, though, I mean, they roll through Bellamy and squad with their torches and kind of clear out the room. And I mean, I don't know. I'm maybe nitpicking too much, but it worked way too well, way too quickly.
Worked too well. I agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess like they don't have time to fuck around and like wait for everyone to get out for the show to move on. But I was like, where the hell did all those bugs just go?
And then it's Bellamy's idea to go to the reactor because he knows that Clark will head there because that's where Maddie is.
Because Maddie's there.
Which is exactly what we get. We get a couple of good reunions here. Murphy and Amori, not really too big of a reunion because they've saw each other recently, but we get Maddie and Clark, and that's like the real kind of moment. And I'm watching right now. I just got to season 6, so I got the origin story of Maddie again for the second time, and it's actually awesome. Like
I
what
love
Maddie,
Maddie
goes through. Yeah,
season 5, Maddie is phenomenal to
she
me.
She might be the worst in this season because she's like not they just aggressive don't... and stuff like she can be and skilled.
It is very weird, and I brought this up in another podcast. It's very weird how they changed her character. Mm-hmm. But we did talk about the fact that she's young and she was finally scared by something, and it's easy.
And she was like mimicking Blood Raina, who's gone now. So
it's
she can kind of
like,
just
it's like Hope, where you know Hope didn't never dealt with any shit, like real shit. So she was just like, I'm a badass, and then shit starts in the fan, and you know, she's falling apart a little bit.
Yeah, okay, yeah so- I mean she's just scared, and now finally, because I mean she was forced to be the commander and all that stuff, but now since she doesn't really need to be the commander, she's allowed to kind of be scared.
Yeah. So while this is all going on, Raven's tripping with the red toxins, and she's seeing our guy Hatch like with his radiated
now,
face and stuff.
Is it the red toxin though? Because they're in the reactor, and I thought that was fine. I thought she's just having like a little bit of a remorseful flashback.
That's true. They didn't look like full-on.
Oh, maybe it is.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure it's just her like regretting.
Also, did we mention that Clark brought like a knapsack full of antitoxin from the farmhouse with her?
Yeah,
no, she did. Yeah,
but I want.
Yeah, but,
I need you all to confirm with me here. Did she take it? Because I know that she didn't take it on screen, as far as I know.
Why are you going to try and say that Bellamy? She hallucinated the Bellamy thing at the end.
It's assumed. I think.
So I really don't buy that.
I think it's assumed that everybody who sees Clark with the antitoxin takes the antitoxin.
Yeah. I would be so pissed if they do that.
Yeah.
Like, they have fucking Bob out here with a farewell Instagram post. Like, Jason has a statement about it. Like, I'd be pissed.
Too many moving parts, especially in the throne room. Like, too many people were there. Like, I don't shade Hata. Like, I don't know how that would
I'm
be
not
explained.
Saying that he's, like, hallucination. I'm just saying that she could have, you know, pulled the trigger quicker based on the fact that she took the toxin or something.
I
like, I don't know. That
I
I'm
think
not,
she probably took it. We can
I don't. I'm just saying everyone took it on screen. She didn't. Yeah. So, but whatever. But whatever. Guess who's still alive? Orlando's alive, everybody.
I love the things that get under your skin because they are just things that go right over my head and I could care less about, and they just drive you crazy.
Yep.
Love it, love it, love it.
So while Raven's tripping out over here, she also decides to, she talks with Amori real quick. She's going to put the shield back up. That's awesome. That kind of just needed to happen.
Bill officially has the flame in his possession.
I would have, if this line, when he goes, when he says for all mankind, if he had instead said, call me Bill, I would have voted on the Twitter poll. Like, I love this episode.
Call me Bill to the flame.
Yeah, he looked at the flame and called me Bill.
Call me Bill, motherfucker.
Oh, that would have been perfect.
But I think that is safely the end of that scene.
Yes.
Take us to the next one.
Yeah, so we're back in the stone throne room, and everyone is pretty much being affected by the red toxins at this point. I think like Indra's like physically sweating. She's starting to hear at least images of her mother who was kneeling to Shade Hata, the OG on Earth and stuff like that. And Shade Hata starts spinning his tails, you know, playing his chess.
Yeah, Indra is cutting through her bondages with
something.
God knows what.
Yeah, something. And Russ sees her doing that says, this won't go well for us if you don't cut through that rope like as quick as possible. Yeah. And she said, Indriv responds with, oh, what are we, friends now? He says the classic line, my enemy's enemy is my friend. Right now, I'm thinking, this is how you know I'm a fan of the 100. I was about to ship Indra and Russ. I was just like, these two, oh my God.
Get the fuck out of here.
Dude, I double down that, on it later.
That
too.
Would be insane if that was the end.
Shadra.
She might Shadra. Have a crush on him. She never lets him die.
Yeah, for real, man.
It's true.
That's got to be what it is.
Yeah. And also, I have a little...
too in the conclave too.
There you go.
Oh, I'm fucking... shipping them. I double.
Yeah, they do
later.
It.
I forget one.
So I have a little Tregatus slang note here because they say, "Isn't that like it translates? Isn't that right?" And I swear on everything that I'll ever own in my life that it's Namin in Tregatus slang. It means isn't that right?
Namin.
Yeah, I was like, yo,
that's amazing.
I got a couple more of them coming up, so don't worry.
So we go right back to the reactor, just a hop, skip, and a splash away. Maddie is telling Clark that she remembers stuff.
Yeah, just hinting at the book.
Hinting at the sketchbook, and Clark just says, you keep that to yourself. Don't ever tell anybody that you remember stuff from the flame.
But yeah, also, this is just a general question. Does that mean that Maddie remembers what Judgment Day is like through Vekka's memories? Like, does she remember what it felt like to go through?
She could be remembering... possibly. Literally how Bill treated Becca. She could be remember. She could just know that he's a bad guy because she said you shouldn't have given it to him.
Yeah.
You know, and she looks at him holding the flame and she said, you should not have done that.
This scene here leads me to believe that it's possible that Maddie plays a really big role in the next couple episodes.
And what did we say?
It's either that or the sketchbook is going to play a huge role, which it already has.
It already has. Yeah.
He said that.
No,
said that.
We separate Maddie from the sketchbook.
All the way back with psychologist Jackson. Yeah, okay. You were calling that from the beginning. Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, also, if Maddie does have those memories of Judgment Day, then, I mean, that even just adds another layer of reasonableness for her acting the way she acts. Because, I mean, even Becca Franco saw that shit and was like, what the fuck? So,
I mean, you have to be able to assume that if Becca had the flame in her when she went to Judgment Day, obviously, so... Maddie should know that. I mean,
but then also everyone should know that. Lexa should have known that.
Yeah, but it never got brought up. So, like, I mean,
yeah, I mean, there's memories I have that I'll probably never even access again until like I hear a certain song or see something. So, I mean,
and they said that it is weird how, you know, you access it via the flame. Like at first, Maddie was getting it through her dreams, and then Gaia teaches her how to ask the commanders for their advice or whatever. I don't know. I mean,
I don't think that she has enough control over. Yeah. I'm going to call them these vision memories to be able to pinpoint that one Judgment Day member. I don't think Maddie knows what Judgment Day is.
It's not like
a
folder on your computer where you could just access it.
Yeah.
Anything,
I just, right? Especially now that it got ripped out, it's just like an avalanche in her head. Like they're just coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just think based off the knowledge from the commanders, meaning Becca, she knows Bill's a bad dude.
Yeah.
And speaking of Bill being a bad dude, he's like sitting there by like the workbench, like checking out the flame, looking at it like he knows what the hell's going on with it. And then like he's like, all right, like, can we get out of here? Because he knows he can't do shit with the flame, so he needs help. Hate that guy.
Yeah. Also in the scene, though, we do get another cool interaction, because when you look at it in a vacuum, it's cool. When Bellamy and Amori talk again, you are family. They spent 5 or 6 years on the ring. Like, that's just pure. That's the shit I was dreaming of when we haven't been seeing Bellamy for 7 episodes. Stuff like that, and like that quick interaction he had with Murphy before Murphy realized, like, God, man, we got robbed.
They do a good job of making the interactions between the people that were on the spaceship different than the interactions between like what Amori and Clark would be. Mm-hmm. Like, she went up to him, gave him a big hug, said, look at these clothes. That sounds like the clothes of someone with a story. Like, she was beaming from ear to ear.
Yeah.
And after 10 seconds, she could just see that it was going right over Bellamy's head. Yeah. It was upsetting to see that.
And Richard Harmon had such great acting in the background. You could see how uncomfortable he looks knowing that Amori's making a mistake. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And Bellamy's answer is, like, I guess he's saved by Raven putting the power on. Then he's like, another time.
Yeah.
Psych.
The foreshadowing.
Right, so, that is when the pipe bursts.
Yeah.
And Raven actually, you know, she sees it. She's going to go fix it. And this is RIP Hatch, the room that she locked Hatch in with the radiation.
Yeah. The flashes start getting worse and worse, which is why I want to double down and definitively say these are just flashes from her memory, not toxin stuff.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. So yes, she goes in there to address the leak, and Nikki arrives, and it's just those two. The time is right. Nikki spells it out. She says, "You're gonna die today, Raven. But first I want to hear you say it." And this is where, credit to Lindsay Morgan, by the way.
Yep.
Good acting, but she just breaks down in front of Nikki, like apologetically, but she admits it. She said, "Yeah, like I killed him. I killed all of them." And the quote that I liked was, "I was afraid he was." I'm sorry. She said she locked the door out of secondary containment because she says, "I was afraid that he was as much of a coward as I am, but he wasn't. He was brave. He got the job done. He didn't try to escape. Like, I told him he was going to die, and he just did it."
Mm-hmm. And you guys picked up on the fact that, like, it, I think it was purposely done where it was like she was like in a haze, like the sound quality was a little bit distorted, right? Mm-hmm. Like she was just mentally like breaking down.
Yeah. She's basically going back to the scene of the crime and just,
yeah.
It's just
that's what
her.
Made me think that for a second that was going to be an antitoxin, I mean, a red toxin yeah. vision, but it does make more sense with the timeline that Clark gave for the antitoxin.
Yeah.
And she, Raven says to her, like, "It should have been me. If it'll bring you peace, then kill me." And I was like, "No, don't say that."
Yeah. How dare you?
I didn't feel any pressure that she was actually going to die this scene.
No.
I thought she was going to die from like a radiation leak. I thought when that leak originally started, it was radiation again. And wow. She was going to do
what she had
thing
to do
and like wrong her. Wow. Right.
That's
that
good.
Been poetic.
Yeah. That would have been good.
Literally,
yeah.
The line is, "Raven sees a leak. If she fucking dies, I'm leaving this show." If Raven died right there, I would have been so pissed. But I have that note written. I thought
that
she was going
to
die.
That could have been a good catalyst,
like
radiation. We all got to get out of here, send everyone to Earth anyway. Like, yeah. That could have been another good reason.
Yeah. So Nikki sees Raven break down, and I think we all agreed this was not very satisfying. She just says, "I have a better idea. You live with what you've done," and just kind of lets Raven live, and she walks away.
I think it's totally off character for Nikki Bang Bang.
Doesn't feel right at all.
Her character was only
revenge,
there
yeah.
for revenge on
and
Raven.
She has no compassion. Literally, she shouldn't give a shit.
I'm just going to chalk it up to the goat Murphy convinced her of like Hatch's inherent goodness and the reason why he did the seal and was saving, I almost called her Elena Huffman, Nikki Bang Bang, because he wants her to do good and be better. So this is her doing that. But
no,
I
just don't. I mean, I know what you're saying, but I just don't think she has that in her character.
The entire character was to be the antagonist
irrational
to Raven
revenge.
Specifically.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
She has no other motivations other than revenge on mm-hmm. Raven. And now that's done.
That's what I was going to say.
She broke the cycle.
Do you think that was the last scene, on-screen scene, she's going to get?
No.
I think so. It might be.
Well, totally be.
She's not dead. I think she's going to be like hanging around.
Yeah.
You think now that she's already had that Raven interaction, she just won't be seen again?
I don't know about not seen again, but I just think that was her big, like, hurrah, I'm done. Like, we'll probably see her, but I don't think she's going to really do much now.
Yeah, also, side note, I really like Nikki Bang Bang as a character. I think Elena Huffman like
her
kills
and Hatch
it as
were
her.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
additions.
They were. I wish we had way more of Hatch.
Yeah.
But they keep going back to Hatch more than they do in a single season of someone who died in the
they
first
know
two
Chad
episodes.
Rook, baby.
They
killing
keep
it.
On going back to Chad. Yeah.
Can you imagine if they did season 5 where the prisoners are all around, but Nikki and Hatch were part of that season?
Oh my God.
Characters that didn't mean anything. That
would
have been amazing.
No, who else would have been there? X, Y, and Z.
Oh my
true.
God.
True.
X, Y, and Z.
Man.
They've been fan favorites.
X, Y, C on me.
X might be the shepherd right now if that happened.
Holy shit.
All right, let's keep going.
For All Mankind.
Because I think that's a good proper send-off to Nikki if that is her last time on screen.
True. Amori, Clark, and Murphy, actually, I want to say, like, they see Nikki just, like, walking out from where they know Raven is, and they look at each other and just sprint to Raven, and then they just see her, like, crying there.
That was a good moment.
Sure. Yeah, great moment.
They all knew what was up.
And notably, Bellamy doesn't move a muscle.
Wow.
He sucks now.
I wish you didn't say that to me. I already have enough negative fucking feelings.
So true. I didn't
Bellamy. Bellamy sees the squad run out there and run down, basically, and they're obviously flustered, and he doesn't move, nothing.
Damn.
All right, moving on to the Bone Stone Throne Room. It is, again, Russ Haida talking to Indra. He just starts, like, talking shit on Tree Crew. I think they're talking in Tree Gate slang, but he says Tree Crew are funny. Like, they used to die trying to escape every single time. It was uncanny.
When he says uncanny, he definitely says it was trippy. Uncanny is trippy in Trivia slang. You can't convince me otherwise.
No, it's actually awesome because Trivia slang is such a good part of this show, and having all of the main characters know it is such a strategic advantage, especially when it comes to stuff like this, stuff like Bardo, because for a fact, like, all the disciples know nothing. Like, the amount of times it came in clutch in season 5 when they're faking stuff over the radios against the prisoners. Yep. Like, and it comes up in season 6, and like, it's come up multiple times this season. It's just, they could just use it as a pure code that has so much grounded history in the show. It's,
I'm pretty sure in the sketchbook standoff between Bellamy and Clark, they're talking in Trigata slang.
She is, not him, though.
Yeah, that's, she is. Yeah. You're right.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because I was going to say,
again, like,
perfect. That's good writing, though, that they kept that consistent.
Yeah.
It, and the other layer of it is that it's just enjoyable to hear them speak it, like, even without the translation. It's just funny.
So all of the disciples in the room are now starting to get insanely paranoid. They're getting like the aggression part of the Red Sun, where they're like, you know, they don't trust anyone. They don't know who their friends are and stuff like that.
I'm pretty sure it was a female guard, like, asked the prisoners, like, quiet down over there. Like, what are you guys doing? And she gets stabbed by another one just because he's like, I'm going to please the shepherd. Don't be like doing my job. Yeah. Those are my responsibilities. So they're like fighting each other. And then they start to swarm in on Russ and Indra. Indra's just like, buy me more time. I'm almost there. And Russ starts spinning his web. He was just like, you were right to kill her. If you were really smart, I could take you to get some antitoxin. It only takes him an extra 20 seconds of talking for Indra to just stand up. And she takes out like all 5 of the guards that were there with a makeshift knife.
Insane.
Indra's a badass.
And can they not shoot their weapons without the helmet on?
They can't go invisible without
it. I know that. Anyway. Anytime there's any hand-to-hand combat, I'm just annoyed. Just shoot them.
They shouldn't need it. You mean?
Yeah. Like, I mean, they specifically say go get the helmets, and I know that's to go invisible, but I don't know if you have to command through your thinking to shoot.
I would
the gun.
Almost say that no, they probably could not control anything without the helmet because it is.
And also, it's all thought based. Yeah, so, like, the red paranoia thing could be a factor into them not being able to do that.
Sure. Yeah, I wonder if the helmet would have saved them from the red toxin.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, it would.
Maybe.
I mean, they still have to breathe in the air. I don't know.
Have they been in situations where they can breathe underwater and stuff, or like on planets without oxygen? I don't remember.
Yeah. I feel like it's like a pressure thing. Like, don't they, when they take it off, it's like a pressure release? So maybe.
Makes the sound effect like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Indra clears the room. This is where I doubled down. I said, because Russ Hayda said, Indra, behind you, to warn her of the invisible person. Her taking out the invisible person was an awesome scene.
Bad ass.
And I'm sorry. Some scene, but why would he not just shoot her? And why would he go to attack her?
He was invisible.
I guess he's just being. I don't know, dude. This one, give Indra her. I know. I don't want to play devil's advocate on this one. And then starts speaking.
He's like right behind you, and she just turns around and cuts his head off.
It was awesome.
Yeah, that was sick.
This is where I doubled down, and I said, I don't give a fuck. I'm shipping these two, Russ Hayda and Indra.
After she looks him dead in the eye and says, your fight is over.
Well, she walks away, and his fight is most certainly not over.
Yeah, it's totally not over.
You can only say that when people die and you see that.
I get the whole symbolism behind it and stuff, but it feels like super repetitive. Yep. I'm saying that she just continuously just keeps seeing like her mom and thinking about like this kneeling thing. Because what did it really add when after she cuts the dude's head off and she sees her mom like kneeling to Russ?
It's just
It's red toxin.
Yeah, red toxin, but it's showing her more of the hatred for Shade Hayda. That's it.
Like, so reinstating it, even though he just helped her. Yes. So like saying like,
but
okay, that's fine.
It's just weird because she doesn't need any more hatred for him.
I know. And why wouldn't she kill him? Why wouldn't she just do it?
I think it's more of like the reason she was seeing her mom is like, what else would she see if she was in a room?
But I'm saying, why did she have to see anything? Because it didn't add anything to the scene.
Well, would her just being crazy add anything more? It was just a cool thing because that's part of her story, I think, just to be able to see it. I don't know.
And then she walks up to him and says, no one treat him. And that's when Jackson and Gabriel turn, and Jackson's like, wasn't planning on it. And Gabriel says, me neither.
I like that. I
laughed at that. That was dope. Because they're all on the same page. Fuck Shade Hayda.
Yeah. Well, they said, fuck that Hippocratic Oath. Was that good, Brian? Did I redeem myself?
You're good, dude. From the doctor surgeon thing? You still on that? You didn't even chirp back when I said that. Okay, I'm glad you heard it.
And now we have Bill returning to the throne room, and this is the scene. This is the whole end, right?
It's the whole shebang.
Pretty much.
Ready, shake it out. Let's get ready to talk this through.
Most of the people that are in Sanctum are in the scene, correct?
Every named character except for Jer, Trey, and Nikki, I think, are on Sanctum are in this
Murphy
room.
And Amori are there.
Yep.
Yeah, cool.
Okay. Maddie's there.
Everyone.
Yeah.
And then I guess
Picasso?
Mini Jasper. And then Mini Jasper and Picasso, whatever.
Fuck yeah.
Pretty much every main character.
What a good boy.
So Gaia gets a name drop here where Indra, rightfully so, because we needed some acknowledgement at some level from her, saying like she's pointing the gun right at Bill as he walks in, asking him where her daughter is. And even Bellamy backs him up, saying like, we have no idea where she is. Everyone's on the same page. Indra kind of lets her guard down a little bit when Clark steps up and says, Bill's going to help. And then this is the last Josephine Gabriel kind of interaction that's going on.
I love how she's like in some kind of like hot nightgown thing too.
Yeah.
Is that
walking around touching the bones?
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to hallucinate her, I'm going to hallucinate her that way too.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Josephine's whispering in his ear, but Gabriel starts to act on what we laid out earlier, that he wants to put the flame in himself. He steps up. I think Josephine says, now's the time, like tell Bill your plan. He steps up, suggests that, you know, Becca's mind drive Allegius tech can probably fix the broken code in the flame, since she designed both the mind drives and the flame. He's like, I'm pretty sure this is going to work.
That's convincing to Bill because of his knowledge of Becca Franco.
Yeah. Bill finishes the
sentence.
Bill is the one that name drops Becca Franco, yes, which I thought was cool. And then it looks like it's working. He says he thinks it's working. And then, like, after a minute, he just pulls the trigger and shoots the flame and points the gun at Bill.
Right. So he says that, what does he say out loud to Josephine right before he shoots?
She's basically saying that, like, you need to be the one, because you're Nightblood. You take the test for us. You put the key back into your head. And he realizes, like, we're the problem. It's something.
Yeah. She asks him, well, he's like clearly kind of having a second thought about it. And she asks, what's wrong? And then he says, we are.
We are.
Now,
and then he just
pop. So
pulls out the glizzy and just smokes it. Yeah.
Gabriel's that boy.
I honestly thought that when Josephine is standing where Bellamy is standing, that Gabriel was going to red toxin, accidentally shoot Josephine, like shoot Bellamy, thinking he's shooting Josephine. Because she literally converges with Bellamy when she disappears.
Really? Yeah.
Well, he like walks through her.
Whatever it is, they're in the same spot while he shoots the thing. He freaks out and he turns. And I was like, oh, dude, is he gonna shoot Bellamy? Is that gonna be like a death? And I would almost rather that be the death.
That would have been wild. That would have been way unexpected.
Yeah. That would have been unexpected, which I would have appreciated that. But in hindsight, that would have been just as like not okay if someone has been with us for 7 seasons.
Storyline wise,
accidentally shot.
Yeah, I agree. But
there was no good way to do it though.
Yeah.
Clark shoots Doucette, the conductor. Bellamy rushes to his side, and his last words are, don't lose faith, to Bellamy.
I personally was just like, cry, you little bitch, to Bellamy when I was watching. I fucking deserve this, man.
He runs to Doucette, but you bring up, Kyle, the point that they were worried Nikki had just killed Raven, and he did not run to Raven.
That was a new man.
Which fits with how he is, I guess.
He shouldn't be showing Doucette any emotion if he's actually being
a
disciple.
That's also true. Yeah, because the disciple religion is you don't care about anything but the collective.
Bill didn't flinch.
Nah, yeah, Bill was like, all right.
He was like, call me Bill.
Yeah, he looked the conductor dead in the eye and said, call me Bill.
But I did think that was a hell yes moment for Clark, because she's always a boss when she's got a gun and she's got some power. Yeah. Like, I love it.
She's cold-blooded,
man. Yeah. And she's just warming the fuck up, baby.
Once Doucette is down, Clark points the gun at Bill and at gunpoint makes him type in the code to the offline planet, which I think I skipped. They identified that one planet is still offline because Raven put on a helmet and tried to type it in. The reason they want to get to the offline planet is because that's where their friends are.
Yep.
Are being.
And, you know,
Earth, your boys over here at Big Sound TV
were out here predicting the offline planet back.
Let's go.
8 episodes
Long
ago.
Time.
Or like
100% Earth.
Oh, we were predicting Gaia being there like a year ago.
I mean, you guys also have seen the trailer for next step, right?
Yeah,
so we know it's Earth.
That.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
it is.
They confirm it in the trailer. It's Earth.
Swift.
Well, this is Clark still, I mean, got the gun in her hand being a badass, and she looks Bill right in the eye and says, enter the code and you get to live. And she just shot the conductor, so it's, you know, she's not fucking around.
Yeah.
He said that only he knows the code too. So that's like, what? I wonder why they keep Earth under such lock and key, like that's the offline one. Maybe they have it designated as like a special.
And potentially it's because Bill didn't want any disciples going back after he shepherded them across the universe. Yeah. Maybe it's something there. I don't know.
Yeah, because planet, we don't know it now because of Prime Fire, but it would have been inhabitable. People could have went back and been like, yeah, let's just live here.
Then people start, the portal opens and all of our homies start walking through. Clark is one of the last.
And that's why I brought it up. Like, I think literally every character is in this.
Yeah.
So, and everyone walks in that we care about.
Shade Hada,
Indra, Clark, and Bellamy are the only four people that we care about that aren't through that portal yet at this point.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
And Nikki Bang Bang.
And as far as we know, all the characters that aren't here that we care about should also be on the other side of the portal.
Including Gaia.
And whoever pulled Gaia through.
Yeah.
Which, is there even Adam. A person?
Adam
that
and
we
Eve.
Can even think?
Adam and Gaia.
But yeah, I mean, this is something I just thought about just because I had it written down that when Murphy walks past Bellamy to go in, he says, I really hope this new thing you believe in is worth it. And then now Murphy, next episode, is going to find out that Bellamy's now dead, and that's the last thing he ever said to him.
Well, it gets worse, and we're going to break that down.
yeah, it definitely gets worse.
We're not there yet. Hold on.
Okay, so Clark has one last... She's just speaking at Bellamy and says, you know, like, I lost you, dude. I said I wasn't going to lose anyone else, but I lost you.
He was about to walk through, and then she says, not you. You've made your choice.
Yep.
And that moment for me was so satisfying because if she just let him go because he's Bellamy, I would have been pissed. That was good that she held her ground right there.
100%. Yeah, so it's Russ Hada that kind of whispers in Bellamy's ear that he can help him if he gets him Maddie's sketchbook, which is on the Bone Throne, and Bellamy obviously just hears helping the shepherd and immediately goes to do it. This is while like Clark's half almost through the portal and she looks back, sees what's going on and cannot let Russ Hada get Maddie's sketchbook. And that's when she turns the gun on Bellamy, right?
Yeah. And she says, cough him up, go nigh, which means give it to me.
Well, do you have a minor? In this fucking
I do. I've been studying.
Truly a head for this.
Stop it.
I know. I mean, this is just like more of our point. Like, Indra just fucking kill Russ Hada, but now Bellamy's dead because of it.
We're silent.
I'm at a loss for words. Yeah. This is like, okay. How does Clark kill all the other?
So she doesn't kill all of them.
She is just holding the gun, pointing at Bellamy, right, asking, demanding that he hands over the book. And a disciple takes it upon himself to kind of step towards her, and instantly she turns and just pops him.
Yeah.
And right there, stakes are raised for everybody in the room. That's
well, she says, give it to me or I'll kill them all, and I will. And I'm like, I do know you will.
Will. Anyone else knows she will.
Fucking badass.
Boy, does she.
And then Bellamy has the line where he says, like, I know you won't shoot me. And then, she, you know, like, there's that whole back and forth. And I don't know about you guys, but watching it live, I was like, this is fucking happening right now. I think this is going to happen.
How many times has Bellamy said, you're not going to shoot me, to Clark? At least the once when he was in the bunker and he's trying to open it, right?
Yeah, in season 5.
And Clark doesn't do it, obviously.
Mm-hmm. She also threatens him in the Pike season 2.
I mean, the thing for me is that he says to her that he has the book and he's like, Maddie won't be in any danger. And their relationship is so fucked at this point that she can't even trust that.
Yeah,
and he's a dumbass for thinking that she's not in danger. Like, why would Maddie not be in danger? I mean,
Bellamy watched them torture Clark and did nothing about it. And she's not thinking in her head, you're going to do the same thing to Maddie? Like, hell no.
Why would you, if you know that Maddie's drawing a sketchbook, why would you not MCAP her if you're Bill?
Yeah.
Clark is treating Bill like an enemy, which he is now. And that's a tough pill to swallow.
He is pleading, saying, like, I love you guys. Like, I care about humanity. You got to listen to me. And Clark just simply can't trust him. And we know that. We understand why Clark can't trust him. So when Bellamy makes the decision, says, there's nothing I can do. I have to give this to the shepherd.
Yeah.
And he turns. And right away, Clark just doesn't even think about it. Pops him right in the heart. Symbolic for being the head and the heart of the two. And it just kind of happened.
So, yeah, I mean, he does say that, but he actually has one final sentence where he says, you need to keep this safe for the shepherd.
Which and is garbage. Symbolic. No. It's such a symbolic way of saying, like, he just dived right into that, and that ruined his character. Him diving into the shepherd religion.
I don't know. So bad. Because his last word ever on the show is shepherd. Boo.
Yeah, moment of silence for the character. I mean,
let's quickly jump into the trailer, what we get for next episode. Then we're going to come back and dissect this and see how we feel and talk about how we feel, because this is a lot. That is the end of the episode. It ends with Bellamy bleeding out. And if I'm being honest, I don't see any way if that was actually his body, he died. Yeah. So I saw some people saying, like, maybe they, like, you know, they heal him in some sort of way, like through the anomaly, or maybe they heal him, like, quickly get anyone. He's dead. If that was his actual human body, he is dead. He bled out, hit him in the heart. Any comments on that? Because I think that
now he's dead.
There's no way
he's dead.
Live that. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard that they can get him back to Bardo quickly and save him. No, I mean,
too late. All right, so the trailer for the next episode is going to, I don't know if it's going to be solely taking place on Earth, but we're getting Earth, baby, and we're getting all of our characters.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be, I guess we got to assume centuries and centuries past the last prime fire, and Earth is somewhat habitable again because we see green, we see trees and stuff like that. We also we see Gaia. She's going to be here. And then the important thing that I think is worth bringing up is that we definitely see Shade Hada not dead. Like, he is ready. He's like in a fighting situation. Like, you know, he's up.
Did you zoom in on Shade Hada? It looked like I couldn't tell. It looked like he was wearing one of the disciple suits. I really, like, I not the white, it. But the actual, like,
the Bardo suits,
non-helmet version with the helmet on.
Which is, I think, how he's going to get to Earth. He's going to take one of the dead disciples in the room. He's going to take their suits and he's going to go to Earth, and we're going to get a final battle with him there.
That's
got doesn't know the code, though.
The portal's got to still be open for that to work.
It closed.
It closed, yeah.
Yeah. Unless he, like, saw.
I mean,
Bill,
there's other disciples
the
still there.
And maybe
Bill's
he has
the only one that knows the code.
Some
though.
Flame memory, because I don't know. I don't know. But
Russ
no,
is going to get to Earth, though.
Russ, I think, is going to get to Earth, yeah. All right, so let's dissect this. Where do you guys want to start? Because I just kind of listed my things of pros and cons, and it's all cons except for one thing.
What was the pro?
It was definitely a pro on the writer's side by not giving Bellamy a redemption arc, because I made it clear, I think, Jimmy, you were on my side too, that if you were going to spend the time to put, I think it was like the fifth or sixth to last episode of Theria, converting Bellamy and showing us why he converted to the Shepherd religion, you're not going to spend another episode of these last four or five believably making him flip back to our side and me being okay with it. And I would have been extremely pissed if he did that heel flip, then heel flip back. That would have been shitty. And then the only other pro is a smaller one, is just that it definitely raised the tension like 100-fold. Like, we had Dioza die last episode. However you want to think about it, this is Bellamy dying. Like, that's a real, real Game of Thrones style, like, main character death.
Yeah, I would say another pro is that I guess I'm happy that Clark was the one to pull the trigger. It means more that it was her, I guess.
The head, the heart thing is so symbolic, and that's great. Yeah.
I just think that I don't know. I at first I was thinking they screwed up her character by having her shoot him, because of every time that she's always had to threaten him in certain ways and then didn't do it. Right. But to be honest, I'm in my rewatch, and she leaves him to die
in the
for Maddie.
Yep.
Like, she actually is surprised that Bellamy is alive when Echo tells him that he's still alive. I mean, it's not at this point out of character, because she's done it before and was living with it, but it just felt like it was quick. It was not a lot of thinking. I mean, I know that she's holding the gun and they're talking, but I mean, she is going to have to explain it to everyone, obviously. And she's also, like, she must have had in her head, okay, he's Disciple Blake. That's it. There's no turning back. He literally brought her back from the dead. He believed in her so much and brought her back from the dead last season. Pumped her heart or whatever the hell it was. What did he do? Talk her through it or something?
Yeah.
Bringing her back to life. And she just kills him in literally 2 seconds or whatever.
I just can't blame the writers that much, because I have to imagine Bob went to them and said, hey, listen, you got me for 4 episodes, probably only going to be in the second half of the season. Like, do what you can. And when you tie the writer's hands like that, what can you do? I can't fault them.
Yeah, I'm just going to read, like, this is part of Jason's statement on it, is that we knew Bellamy's death had to go to the heart of what the show is all about. Survival. Who you're willing to protect and who you're willing to sacrifice. His loss is devastating, but his life and his endless love for his people will loom large and affect everything that comes after, to the very end of the series finale itself. So that sounds like they knew that Bellamy was going to die. That was the plan all along.
So let's talk about the fact that Bellamy's a disciple and he's dying, because they could have kept him as Bellamy and kill him too. What has it done for the series that he's quote unquote a villain, if you want to call it that, and have him die that way instead of just having him be a good guy and dying by Shade Hate's hand or Bill or whatever?
Nothing. Makes us hate a character that we've loved.
Yeah, I think that's it. And this is just me, like, theorizing, but hasn't the show had a history of blacklisting some of the actors on it? Like Jasper Lincoln. Him and Jasper and Lincoln both had run-ins with Jason, and after that he made them horrible characters and wrote them off.
I mean,
is this a thing? Like, they, if they knew they were going to kill him, like, maybe Jason took that personally and took it upon himself to ruin the character too.
I can't take it off the table, because that is what he did with Lincoln.
That's kind of his MO though,
and that's
right?
What he did with Jasper.
I like to think that he would prioritize fan service over that, over a petty difference between an actor, but based on what he has done in the past, that's not off the table. Right?
I mean, I know that, like, I guess I can't say I know. I'm not a freaking gossip person here, but the Lincoln thing, I think, with that actor was the worst. And he still had, like, a pretty good death. He stayed a good guy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, geez, like, just kill Bellamy if you want to kill Bellamy.
All right.
I mean, like, technically, like, he sacrifices himself for, like, the group in his mind, but it doesn't feel like that way to us. So what the fuck is the point?
Well, he was sacrificing himself to get the book to the shepherd, which in our opinion doesn't do anything for the people we care about as show.
Yeah. Fans. And I mean, I'm saying, like, from his perspective, he thinks he's helping, like, he's sacrificing himself to help everyone. But from our perspective, it's like, what the fuck are you doing, man?
You can't just, like, write this character for 6 seasons and have him be unwavering in his commitment to his friends and his comrades.
Best character, probably easily at the end of season 6.
Yeah, you can't just have this character for 6 seasons unwavering in his commitment to his friends and then make him completely flip-flop in 4 episodes of the last season. Like, I want to compare it to what they did with Jaime Lannister. His entire character arc was going away from Cersei and, like, finding other things to live for, and then in the last 2 episodes he totally just goes back to Cersei, and the entire fan base was like, what the actual hell?
I think you're right on that. It's his total personality shift is very comparable to that, but I also think it's more comparable to Danny, because his whole first season 1 to 6 makes sense, just as Danny all the way up until right before she burns King's Landing to the ground made absolute sense. And it seemed like they had an endpoint they wanted to get him to, and they just made it happen over, I guess, for Game of Thrones, the span of, like, 2 episodes.
Yeah.
But over this, like, the span of just the end season, you know, it just was a complete heel turn where it might have made sense, maybe, if you had, like, a whole season of Bellamy's decline into wavering against his friends and more into, I don't know. But I just, that's how I see it.
It's tough, too, because we just rewatched the scene, and you can tell. He's not, it's like one of those weird villains. He's, like, crying and he's saying he's doing this for them too. So it's not like he's against them. He thinks he's saving them. And you guys are going to freaking hate this, and I'm going to just say it. I heard there's a theory that the end is going to be that he's right and Clark's the bad guy.
I don't know. You're saying, like, I don't hate that. Well, also was right. I mean, like,
that's
the shepherd,
just a theory that's saying Bill could be right.
That's, like, why I thought you guys would hate it, because that means if Bellamy's right, that means that everything that Bill thought was right is right.
I'd be okay with that. I'm just not okay with Bellamy taking that route. Like, Bellamy should have been on the Clark wrong side if it is the shepherd being right.
That's my thing.
Okay.
I'd be cool with. Like, that's the equivalent of, you know, the White Walkers winning. Like,
I don't know, though. I don't know if I agree with Bellamy. It should be on Clark's the wrong side if that's how it ends. I think that's the head and the heart thing.
Yeah, right. He's the heart, so he's trying to save them. that makes him the good guy.
But I still just don't think it was believable for him to, in those 3 months no, in Etheria, to have flipped to that side.
I agree.
Like I'm saying, if they had more time to flesh it out, it would be believable if that's the end point they wanted to get to. But I see it kind of hard for me to end this series and me like Bellamy more than I do right now.
No matter what, I think our opinion is going to be what you just said. Like, whether whatever the end ends up being, if the end is that Bellamy was right and Clark is the commander of death and what she did was wrong and she fails humanity and he would have been correct, we still think that they didn't do it the right way for Bellamy.
For Bellamy, but holy shit, that sounds good. The way you just said that, like, I want that.
I mean, that's kind of a thing. That's also...
them are evil.
That's the only path that makes the death feel like okay-ish.
I mean, if they go that way, that means Jasper was right. That means Monty eventually was right. That means Bellamy now was right. I would be fine with that.
I would be fine with that because I think at a certain point, even Clark knows that there's some truth to that, that they are on the evil side, but she just justifies it because she prioritizes her friends more than anybody else. So
Did we just write the ending?
Well, Bellamy even says to her, like, look at yourself. Look at the way that you're acting right now. Yeah. And, I mean, she is acting a little crazy.
I mean, she's been acting crazy for Maddie for a couple seasons now.
Yeah.
Yeah. My last big thing I think we need to get into real quick is just, this is what pisses the fans off the most and like why they hate Jason so much for this decision is because we're going to get zero closure for the Blake siblings and zero closure for Echo and Bellamy, like having some sort of semblance. Because when Echo found out that Bellamy fake died, she freaked out. She started going killing people. What's she going to do now to Clark?
Yeah.
When this happened, and is Octavia even going to care? Like, I don't want Clark. Clark should not deal with negative repercussions for this.
I don't think she
will.
And I
think she might. I hope she doesn't.
Because they did a good job of making sure that all of the characters saw the new Bellamy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Octavia and Echo, I think they saw him enough to know that he had completely switched sides. I think they went from what Amori was when she was right seeing them to they spent enough time with him to know that he was full on for the ship.
And that also doesn't take away from the lack of resolution between the Blake siblings, which I thought was like a main part of the entire show.
I agree with 100%. 100%. Yeah. That is very much a flaw in the ending. And I don't even think we talked about the fact that the killing is pointless. The book doesn't get taken back by
what is she doing?
Yeah,
she doesn't get the fucking book.
All she had to do was walk and pick it up, literally, and she just killed him.
She ran out of bullets because she killed the other disciples.
Oh, you're right.
And she didn't have another bullet, so she. Yeah. And then also, like, okay, you know, hero timing where she jumps through anomaly as it's disappearing.
I don't know. I mean, it's the books left. The disciples know about Maddie because it was spoken. I mean, only so
it was
only,
spoken in Tregatus slang, wasn't
only
it?
Only Bellamy's side was in English, so Bellamy said Maddie will be safe. I don't know. You know what that is going to be, but pointless. That's just the craziest thing about it.
It's gonna
just sucks. It just sucks because he, like we've been saying, was one of the best characters in the show, and then the whole last season, he's A, barely in it, and B, anytime he's in it, we hate when he's in it, which is just so disappointing.
I want to go back to what you said about how, like, if Bill is right about everything, then that would make Clark the bad guy. I just want to gauge the room here and ask: do you guys? What will you take for the end game of this show? Do you think Bill is going to be correct, or will you take the field? Any other possibility? Do you think there will a final war / final judgment?
No, I'll take the field with that.
I also think there's a chance we don't get anything with the judgment day. We get nothing. It just doesn't get resolved in that way.
Well, that would be boring only because, like, Becca already confirmed there's something that she was freaked out about. So if they don't touch on it again.
Yeah, I agree.
Although, if they kill Bill, then it won't get touched on again because they won't. Because
no one will want to do it.
Yeah, nobody will care enough to. I'm, like, frazzled right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I just don't know, like, if they take the test or win the war or whatever. And then it turns out that Bellamy's right. And then it's like, I don't know how I feel about that. Like, I don't know how I feel about, like you're saying, the test and the war not being a thing at all. Like, I don't know.
Bellamy's the weird happy medium where the Shepherd literally has a cult saying, you shouldn't care about anybody. This is for the collective. We are going to save all mankind. Bellamy is still doing it for his friends. He's doing it for all mankind, but he's still sitting there crying because he wants to save his friends. So he's like the middle ground. So I would not be okay if Bill is right saying, like, nobody matters. I want Bellamy to be right and say, I was going to save everybody, including you guys. But it's just, I don't know how you can get both. You can't.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Nobody matters. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and also, I don't think that after all we've been through with this show, that it's going to come down to nobody matters is the answer in the
end.
And
I just don't want Bill to be right.
Yeah, true. Also that.
I mean, he could be right, but I don't want him to be, I don't know.
I want to wrap up this discussion just by saying I'm really, really happy that it looks like they're setting this series up to end on Earth, where it all began. I think that's like poetic. I think it's perfect. And if that's the setting for like the last episode, I would be all about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm into it a lot. I'm hype about that. So in place of our usual Bang Kill Marry, a fan favorite part of the podcast, we're just going to, you know, send Bellamy off the right way. One of our favorite characters, unfortunately, like we've said, we turned against him a little bit at the end, but he's always going to have a special place in our heart. So Bellamy, in peace, may you leave the shore. In love, may you find the next. Safe passes on your travels until our final journey to the ground. May we meet again, Bellamy.
May we meet again.
Oh. To end this episode, we are going to be announcing the winner of the Lindsay Morgan autographed photo. Thank you to all of our fans for participating in the event, and shout out to the 100_news_ for partnering with us on this. Be sure to give her podcast a listen. It's called Fangirl Talk, and she does live reactions to episodes of The 100. But without further ado, our winner is at Soraya.Barbarossa. So congrats to our winner. We're going to be announcing that again over Instagram, so don't worry. But if you didn't win this time, do not worry, because we're going to be giving out some more goodies in the near future. Of course, we're going to be continuing to cover The 100 all season long. Next up will be episode 14, A Sort of Homecoming. If you're looking for more The 100 content in the meantime, make sure to go back and listen to our episodes interviewing Chad Rook, Jason Diaz, and Sachin Sahil, who play Hatch, Levitt, and Jackson, respectively. As always, if you like what you heard, give Bingetown TV a follow on Twitter and Instagram, and subscribe to our show on Spotify and the Apple Podcast app. Once again, we are Bingetown TV, and thanks for listening.
Maybe we love you guys. Again.